This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, February 11th, 2009. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, when the weary blues met jazz. In 1958, Langston Hughes did a unique collaboration with jazz musicians. Hughes read some of his poems to arrangements by Leonard Feather and Charles Mingus.
Prone in a drowsy, syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon, I heard a Negro play.
On today's program, we're going to sample some of the tracks of The Weary Blues, a recording from Verve Records. I'm joined by saxophonist and composer Charles Girard and by poet and multimedia performer Holly Bass. Their ensemble, Washington Music Aviva, recently performed a recreation of The Weary Blues with original tracks at Busboys and Poets Cafe in Washington, D.C. Charlie is here with me in Brooklyn, and Holly joins me by phone from Washington. Welcome to Poetry Off the Shelf.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, Holly, Langston Hughes must have been surrounded by jazz his entire life, especially when he lived in Harlem in the 20s. He talks a lot about blues, and a lot of his poems are riffs on blues in one way or another. But do you hear jazz in his poetry?
Oh, I definitely hear jazz and the blues in Langston's poetry. And he would have been exposed to music like that even from early on, from being born in the South. I feel like we have this idea that somehow all of the things we associated with Langston happened in Harlem,
right,
when in reality it was the culmination of his whole life. So by the time he got to New York, he'd already written his first book and had already established those themes of working-class black life, of the street, of blues, of jazz in his writing.
Yeah, he had written The Weary Blues, I think, in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
which he hated, by the way, didn't he? He hated,
yes,
D.C.
Yes, he did hate Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
he was very depressed the entire time.
Yeah, well, he lived in a YMCA and was a busboy.
Yeah. Well, actually, the busboy probably, that wasn't the part he hated most. Actually, I think it was the Washington black elite social scene that really got him down.
I don't dare start thinking in the morning. I don't dare start thinking in the morning. If I thought thoughts in bed, them thoughts would bust my head. So I don't dare start thinking in the morning. I don't dare remember in the morning. Don't dare remember in the morning. If I recall the day before, I wouldn't get up no more. So I don't dare remember in the morning.
Hughes is always trying to capture the musicality of black cultural life, whether it was in the speaking cadence of regular folk or in the actual music.
One of the things along those lines that's really obvious is that a lot of the poems are structured just like blues. What is it, Holly? Is it like a 12-bar blues? Yeah, it's a 12-bar blue type thing.
Repeat in the same format.
Right, and they're kind of stanzas after stanzas done, you know, that would fit with the blues. It could be sung.
So you jazz musicians, you see something written in that kind of form, you think, I know what to do with this.
Yeah, that it's pretty obvious.
So the beginning of The Weary Blues, droning a drowsy syncopated tune, rocking back and forth to a mellow croon, I heard a Negro play down on Lenox Avenue the other night by the pale, dull pallor of an old gas light. He did a lazy sway. He did a lazy sway to the tune of those weary blues.
With his ebony hands on each ivory key, he made that poor piano moan with melody. Oh, blues. Swaying to and fro on his rickety stool, he played that sad, raggy tune like a musical fool. Sweet blues. Coming from a black man's soul. Oh, blues.
Now, so you perform these and with jazz musicians, and you are a performer in many things that you do. So what do you think of Langston Hughes' performance?
I mean, in all honesty, I don't think Langston was the best reader.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've heard his poems many times. They always struck me as a little flat in his reading.
The recording with the music is much more engaging.
Right.
And I think not every poet is a performer.
Yeah.
And when you hear Langston, he's a writer. And so he delivers his words clearly, but not necessarily with, you know, any sort of great oratorical skill.
I dreamt last night I thought I was in hell. I woke up and looked around me. Babe, your mouth was open like a well. I said, baby, baby, please don't snore so loud. Baby, please, please don't snore so loud. You just a little bit of woman, but you sound like a great big crowd.
Yeah, well, there's something kind of buttoned up about his reading style, and even though the text itself is often very slangy, jazzy, and so on, but there's sort of a contradiction between his presentation and the reality of the words.
Part of his reading style is a reflection that he, as an educated black man, might not want to be seen as mocking working class or less educated folks by trying to sound like them,
right,
when in fact he didn't generally speak in black vernacular or with a strong sort of southern accent. And so I think maybe he was avoiding trying to sound false in that way.
I'm a bad, bad man, 'cause everybody tells me so. I'm a bad, bad man, everybody tells me so. Takes my meanness and my liquor everywhere I go. I beats my wife and I beats my side gal too.
The first side of the recording, the first side of the album, because it came out originally as an album, was written and arranged by Leonard Feather. The other side by Charles Mingus. Now, Charlie, they sound different to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't explain why musically. What's the huge difference between these two arrangers of this?
Basically, Leonard Feather has kind of a much older style, almost Dixieland jazz or New Orleans jazz. And then with Mingus, well, it's Mingus. It's very hip and
timeless. It seems so much more
contemporary. Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's right with us.
Yeah. Right. And I also have the feeling that Mingus's attitude was, well, I'm Charles Mingus, I'm doing Charles Mingus's music. If it works with Langston Hughes' poetry, great.
Don't let your dog curb you. Don't let your dog curb you. Curb your doggy like you ought to do, but don't let that dog curb you. You may play folks cheap, act all rough and tough, but a dog can tell when you're full of stuff. Them little old mutts look all scraggly and bad, but they got more sense than some people ever had. Cur dog, vice dog, carry blue, just don't let your dog curb you.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think in African-American poetry in general, there has been an incredibly close relationship and interest on the part of poets and writers to jazz and to music in general. I can't think of a major African-American poet who doesn't write a lot about music.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, we joke, and Washington, D.C. has a really wonderful black writing community, and we used to joke and say, you know, every good poet has to have a Coltrane poem in their pocket. And it would always be this thing of like, well, have you written your Coltrane poem or your sort of, you know, jazz ars poetica?
Right.
So I definitely, even though you may not see as many poets performing with live jazz, it's definitely in the poetry.
Yeah.
And I think that will always be the case.
Holly and Charlie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Holly Bass is a poet and a multimedia performer. Charles Gerard is a composer and saxophonist. You can find out more about Washington Music Aviva on the web at dcmusicaviva.org. The Weary Blues recording of Langston Hughes with Charles Mingus and Leonard Feather is published by Verve. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.